John Cunningham from Glencolumbkill, now based in Madrid, an outgoing Central Council delegate for Europe. You have a good global perspective of how the game has expanded. No comparison between now and 20 years ago.
Definitely not. And in general, I suppose, I my club from playing a football at home, my club, New Columbia, and then moving from there to America and North America, and then from North America back to where I'm based now in Madrid in Europe. The changes everywhere is significant. The development across Europe in particular at the moment is it's outstanding, really. It's brilliant to see, and continues to grow with more and more people and indigenous people from different countries playing the games at this stage. It's remarkable, actually.
Because years ago, like, we all knew there was Gaelic games in New York and Philadelphia and Boston and London and Warwickshire and whatever. But the fact now, I mean, it really is becoming a global game. There's not too many countries that don't have somebody.
No, there's not. And you know, it's amazing where you go and you see a GA jersey, and you're not just not just the Irish people who've brought their sport and culture and song to the areas, but the local people from those areas that's playing and at an underage level as well, and quite a good standard as well, and it's continuing to grow. The resources are now there for them, the development is there, the support from Croke Park indeed, and from the twinning provinces is really what helps get that and move that forward.
And just give us an idea of around the world, like, what way is it structured? There's leagues within countries, but sometimes there's inter-country tournaments, I know, in the Middle East.
Well, the Middle East in particular has a very good one held in Abu Dhabi. In Europe, they have the Pan-Euro Finals, and that's held, so you win within your own locality, in your own division, and then you travel to the host country. I believe this year might be Maastricht in Holland that'll support it, run the event. But I would say that each division in each area, I'm currently in Madrid, which is covered under the Iberia region. There's approximately 24 to 28 teams there. They held their first tournament last weekend, actually. And in Europe is slightly different than the States, in that in the States, a season was potentially from March to end of September or mid-September. Towards in Europe, depending on the weather, it's either too cold to play or too hot to play in the country. So the season lasts much longer.
Yeah, and climate being a big factor, it's not always a case of playing maybe a 70-minute game.
No, they don't. And then the temperatures, obviously, and then the facilities. So a lot of games are played on rugby fields and indeed some soccer fields. Depending on where you are, especially in some of the countries that are just still being developed, they don't have the full size grounds. But with that said, they play enthusiastically, anything from 11 a side upwards. And the temperatures are a high factor in there. I mean, in Madrid, for example, it's 40 degrees in the summertime, so there's no one playing too much football in July and August.
And in terms of funding and organising the competitions, is it really self-funded amongst the individuals and clubs, or do they get support in some cases from local authorities and other sources out there?
Yeah, I would say that in the last number of years in particular, the support system from a commercial perspective has increased, and that's what's allowed the games really to expand. Croke Park, the DFA, very much involved. There's a lot of funding available from there. There's a lot of projects that they're quite happily and openly sponsor. Now the GAA outside of Ireland is covered under the umbrella of World GAA, which also opens up other avenues. And then there's obviously the local people there that do run their fundraisers and do everything that the clubs that are in Ireland do every year as well. And that's the same, that follows everywhere. But the support system that's in there and the infrastructure that's now behind that is definitely the signs. You can see the signs on it. You can see it in an underage in particular. I'm even thinking of Europe there at the minute, with National Féile competition is coming up again next year. And then with the hope that the teams will then travel from Féile, which will be held in Amsterdam, and then potentially travel from there then back to Ireland to the hosting county in Ireland for next year.
And in Europe, give us an idea, you know, how many clubs roughly would there be playing Gaelic games?
So we did an audit quite recently of where we were to try and get a real reflection so we could develop a realistic strategic plan. We found that there was approximately 65 what we described as active clubs. You will find areas where people will go to work And they will sell up a club, and the club gets will stay for a couple of years, and it sort of falls away if the work ends in that particular region. But 65 active clubs throughout Europe is a testament to I think back of the late Joe McDonagh, who was paramount on all things overseas. I think, you know, and I think if Joe was around today, he'd be quite happy with the growth and what he sees.
And what's the format, apart from sort of local championships, is there a European club championship as such?
There is. So it's held at a higher level. So the senior teams there, they have a 15-a-side team that are, so Europe are twinned with Leinster, and they actually play in Leinster. This year, they actually won their first game in Leinster, a team from Barcelona. I can't remember off the top of my head now who they bet, but they won the first championship match in Leinster at the junior level, which was brilliant, and it brought a lot of excitement to the area. And then it gives the rest of Europe then something to aim for, and that's the hope, that when you get wins like that, that it encourages the hard work that goes on behind the scenes at a grassroots level to put those teams on the field.
And no doubt you get a few curious spectators at some of these locations. Some maybe have no idea of what they're watching when they arrive.
It is, and it's quite comical to see. And part of what makes it brilliant, so in the last number of years, we've made a lot of different connections just outside of our own people, really. I would say the Consul General's offices, etc., have been very, very good to the GAA overseas. And as such, our diaspora is widening. So people will come to a game at a park on a Saturday afternoon, and they see this hive of activity. And, you know, once they see it, the interest is there. And then obviously you're always trying to encourage more and more people to come and join and be part of it, and to share that experiences with people outside of Ireland.
And from a practical point of view, what about the goals themselves? You use rugby pitches sometimes, but do you use your own temporary goals, or what way does that tend to work?
We would. So I suppose there's a mix there. I've often seen all kinds of goals out there, to be honest. Some could have soccer goals with 4-inch waven pipes up at each side of it. To the bigger competitions, then obviously we'll have the full size and the proper GA goals. And again, as part of the development and the commercial support from indeed Leinster, as we're twinned with, and Croke Park, the GDAs, it has now allowed the teams and the clubs to actually have the tools that they need to host good events. So I'd say improvements. You still see an odd, strange one there, but much, much more improved from where it was, even as recent as 15 years ago. It's changed a lot.
And finally, and you know, ultimately, it's a social networking, which is also bringing in sport. Everybody's a winner.
Absolutely, I think the GAA were networking before the word networking was a buzzword that was around, and that's always been a good sense for everybody involved, especially parents who have their children traveling. And what we find a lot is you'll have people who never played football or hurling or at any level with their clubs, but when they move outside of Ireland, they get involved with the club because they know that there's somebody to support them with accommodation or with housing, or somebody's having a bad day and there's somebody checking on them. So I think that's one of the special things about our sport, that we're very inclusive and we attract everybody to it. So long may it continue.